Listen from 1 Samuel 16, verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Samuel then set out and went to Ramah. Samuel anointed David with oil, and David was then, after a little while, but he was then the next king of Israel after Saul. 1 Chronicles 29:22, and they ate and drank before the Lord on that day with great joy. They made David's son Solomon king a second time. They anointed him as the Lord's prince and Zadok as priest. So Solomon and David, like Saul before them and the kings that came after them, were anointed. The king was the anointed one. An anointed one in Hebrew is Mashiach. It's fun to say, at least for me, Mashiach, but it's where we get our word Messiah. Anointed one is Messiah. Anointed one in Greek is Christos. What word do we get from there? Christos becomes Christ, as we know it. Christ means anointed one in Greek. So we've got Messiah and Christ, both mean anointed one. So to be an anointed one was a big deal because the kings were anointed. They were Mashiach. They were Christos, although we didn't speak Greek back in that time. They were Mashiach. They were Messiah. And then Jesus comes along, and the meaning starts to shift a little bit. Christ means something more, as in the anointed one, instead of the anointed one. There have been lots of anointed ones in history, and even several who claim to be the one about the time when Colossians was being written. There were many the ones. Just like in The Matrix, where there are so many the ones. How many of you saw the movie The Matrix? Anyone? Neo is the one, the anointed one, and it's not at all a little bit informed by theological concepts like this. The one. The work of the Pharisees and the Sadducees was difficult because they were trying to figure out who was the one. They knew that the one hadn't come, or at least they didn't believe the one had come. And so they were weeding out all these false the ones, all these who said they were anointed. And they missed Jesus in the process. They were so busy trying to keep people from believing the wrong thing that they missed the right thing. And by the time Colossians is written, they're still working on that. But some people got it. They talked about it. They preached about it. They sang about it. And in our reading from Colossians today, you can find an ancient hymn, verses 15 through 20, are the words to an ancient hymn. And no one knows for sure the tune, and in translation, the words don't flow the way they should have when it was written in Greek. But if you move things around a bit, and you try to give it a little rhyme and a melody, it could be singable. And I've made an attempt today, I'm going to make another attempt, to capture the spirit of this ancient hymn with the hymnody of a much more recent time, the 18th century. To the tune of J.S. Bach's song, which is called Ach Gott und Herr. Everyone know that one? It's in your top 40 on your iPod or one of those things.
I can't even pronounce it.
You don't know that one? You've heard of J.S. Bach, right? Who's heard of Bach? Okay, we got Bach going there. Ach Gott und Herr. Here's a new hymn that I'm going to try and sing a little bit. You have to take some license with the melody a little bit. And I've never written a hymn before, so I'm not sure how it goes. So Debbie's going to play this tune. Go ahead, play the tune so I can get it back in my head. Kind of goes. Ready? Go ahead and play it.
The invisible God.
God we see in Christ, the firstborn of all things created. All that there is in heaven and earth are through him and for him intended. Okay, I'm not going to sing anymore. Thank you for that part there. You just play that through one more time. You get that melody line. The other two verses, without being sung. Thank you, Debbie. There is nothing before that could ever exist. Together, Christ keeps everything. The head of his church, yes, our Christ is first race, first place in everything supreme. God's fullness is pleased to dwell in the Christ, and through him the world to restore. There is peace everywhere in heaven and earth, through his blood giving life forevermore. The readers and the hearers of the words of Colossians may have sung, spoken, heard, or pondered this ancient hymn. They might have been thinking of a scriptural description of wisdom that came from Proverbs 8, 22 through 30. And this hymn may be from there too. Here's Proverbs 8, 22 through 30. The Lord created me at the beginning of his work, first of his acts of long ago. Ages ago I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. When he had not yet made earth and fields, or the world's first bits of soil. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep. When he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his commands, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master worker, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always.
Yeah.
It's not exactly the same, but it's similar. This description of wisdom from the Proverbs. And the Colossians loved wisdom. They loved debate. They argued about whether some things were okay to eat or touch or not, whether Christians were called to endure self-beating in order to be considered followers. Some were afraid of invisible entities that demanded their obedience. Things were a bit messed up. In our reading today, it's kind of a here's how things are speech. It's an explanation about who Jesus the Christ is and what that means to everyone. Listen now to the words without rhythm, but how they would sound in a contemporary paraphrase that's in one translation or paraphrase of the Bible called The Message. We look at this Son and see God who cannot be seen. We look at this Son and see God's original purpose in everything created. For everything, absolutely everything above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. He was there before any of it came into existence and holds it all together right up to this moment. And when it comes to the church, he organizes and holds it together like a head does a body. He was supreme in the beginning and, leading the resurrection parade, he is supreme in the end. From beginning to end, he's there, towering far above everything, everyone. So spacious is he, so roomy, that everything of God finds its proper place in him without crowding. Not only that, but all the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe, people and things, animals and atoms, get properly fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies, all because of his death, his blood that poured down from the cross. So here's a song. An ancient creed that describes who Jesus, the anointed one of God, Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Christ is. In song form, it became more memorable and lasted in the minds of the Colossians, who needed some reminding and teaching about who Jesus was. They had gotten off track with the rules, rituals, and fear that was misplaced or maybe even wrong. And of course, we don't have any of those things, right? Rules, rituals, and fear that are harmful to us or that keep us from really understanding who Jesus is. But I wonder, what is it in our lives that keep us from acting as if we really did believe that Jesus is the one? Maybe it's greed. Maybe it's war. Maybe it's violence. Maybe it's addiction. Maybe it's commercialism. How many went shopping early Friday morning?
Not me.
7 o'clock, 5 o'clock. Let's take a survey. Who left the house by 5 a.m.? Before 5 a.m. Wow. Who left the house by 4 a.m.? 4 a.m. You would have 10 after 4. Wow. Do the things that we fear influence us more than our own ambitions? Maybe that's another question too. Things that we fear. Do our own ambitions about what we want to happen, what do we want to do, how good we want to be at something, how excellent we want to be as a church, how far we want to advance in our careers, do they keep us from following the One? Because I know we don't have some of these Colossians issues. I don't think anyone's debating whether or not self-beating is something someone should do. Or whether or not there are like invisible entities that are coming down and like drilling stuff into our heads all the time. And we've got to put foil on our heads to try to keep that away. But we have things that keep us from following Jesus with all that we are. And if Jesus is the Anointed One, the Messiah, the Christ, and I believe that is exactly who Jesus is, then Jesus is the only one worth following. And while this passage doesn't have this big challenge about something to do, and maybe it doesn't even lead to that, it describes Jesus who is worthy of all our praise and is worthy of being first in our lives. And I know it's harder to do that in practice than it is to hear it in a sermon. It's harder for all of us to say, Jesus is the firstborn of all creation. You are the one, Jesus. And then go out and do something that we would rather do. But if Jesus is the Anointed One, the Messiah, the Christ, and I do believe that's who Jesus is, then Jesus is the only thing worth following. And in following Jesus, I think that we experience love and joy. Love for God and one another. And joy in knowing that we are not alone on the journey toward trying to get it. And joy in knowing that we are not alone in our service of Jesus who is the Christ, Jesus who is Messiah. We're not alone in our journey of serving, of living for, of getting to know a little bit better, of trying to understand and failing, but of being people who are together in Jesus who is anointed. Let's pray. God, thank you for today. Thank you for Jesus, who reigns over all, who loves all, and who calls us to be a people who love you and who love each other. In Jesus' name, amen.